It's good to see everybody tonight. It's certainly been good to be here for this mission conference. I came expecting, I didn't know what, but what I got out of the mission conference was a lot of encouragement. And I called Danny the other night. I didn't even know I was going to speak to you. I came expecting kind of I was going to be quiet and I was going to let everybody else do the speaking. And when I found out I would be speaking, I called Danny up in Colorado Springs, who labors with me. Everybody probably knows Danny and Laura Dalross. If not, they'll be down next year for the mission conference, Lord willing. We're going to switch off years coming back, and you'll get to meet them then. And I asked Danny, I said, what do you want me to share for you? And he said, well, I'd love it if you would tell them about the fact that we have 100% attendance on Wednesday night meetings. Because it's just us. There are two families and everybody's there. We have 100% giving. Everybody in the church gives. Amen. Even the kids. We have a children's mission fund, a big water bottle, 5-gallon water bottle. It's got about this much in the bottom of it. They've been working hard to collect their coins and put them in that bottle for the missionaries. And so he just wanted me to let you know that as far as he was concerned, the news was encouraging. But continue to pray for them. Because we left, and you know how it is. Half the church is gone when we left. And things sort of fall apart when the preacher goes away, and so we leave, and Danny passes a kidney stone. Who knows, you know, these things happen. And then he bawls me out because I missed my one chance to make a pastoral visit to the hospital. I wasn't there. Very Danny-like. I want to say thank you. We are self-supporting missionaries. We do this out of the conviction that our mission is to go out as Americans to start a church the way Americans would do it, much like the missionaries in Mexico begin a church the way a Mexican would do it in their own country. That means that we would go out, seek jobs and careers in the town where we were going to live, and begin to build a church on that basis. My aim and my goal, my vision for the ministry is to build a church similar to this one, but not directly associated to this one, that will grow up young people who can step out for the Lord on faith with the Word of God and the training of the local church and have the faith to go out anywhere in the world and do any work for God that God calls them to do. And that's my vision for that ministry. My prayer request would be Paul's prayer request. There's an open door and there are many adversaries. So pray for us, brethren. And I'd like to introduce to you some in the beginning and then some while I speak to you about some other subjects, some of what I consider our great success in Colorado Springs. Now, numbers-wise, it looks like we're not doing so great. We have two families. We have a couple of brethren who drop in on us occasionally on Wednesday night when nothing interesting is on TV and they're feeling guilty. You know, usually I call them and they'll come to church. And so I bother them for a few weeks in a row and I kind of push them and then I let them go and see if they go anywhere. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But otherwise, Danny and Laura, and their children, Linda and our children, fellowship together, 3 times a week. And we have services like you do here. But there have been some great successes in our ministry. When we first started in Colorado Springs, we did a whole lot more door knocking than we've done recently. Recently, we've gone to hanging things on the doors, door hangings, and we've tried some mailing ministries. And we've done a lot of different things trying to see where the response lies in our evangelization efforts. And when we were out evangelizing, actually, Danny and Laura were out on a Thursday night. We would watch each other's kids. We'd watch their kids on Tuesday, and they'd watch ours on Thursday, whatever night theirs was to be out, they met a man, and he said, "Wow, I'd like to go to your church." So he came, and after a little while, he got married. And we had his wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. It was outdoors. It was at a little inn somewhere on the side of the mountain. It was a gorgeous wedding, and they were going to go on and live for the Lord. And they introduced us to someone else, and then kind of petered out. They dropped out. Not one of our successes. But let me tell you about the people they introduced us to. I got a call one night from his wife. Her name was Kelly. And Kelly called me up and she said, "I have a friend who's in trouble and she wants to get married. this is not a good phone call. Already something's wrong. And so I said, well, let me go talk to her. I'll see what's up. So I set up an appointment, and I went out to meet this lady named Maria and her fiancé named Doug. Come to find out, what she was in trouble with was that she was just feeling terribly convicted. I mean, she was really burdened about some things. Part of it was she was living with this guy. And the other part was she knew she was saved, and his salvation wasn't as sure, but he thought he was saved. And they came from a very strange, mixed up background. He came out of the drug movement in the 60s, and they had gone to a hippie living community out in New Mexico, a commune for Jesus, you know. And he was sort of mixed up. And I sat down, I talked with him. I expected to be there about an hour, and I was there for like 6 hours that night. And they said, oh, you gotta come back again. So I came back the next night, and then I went back the next night, and then for a while it was really often. They began to come out to church. He got a true assurance of salvation. Some of the things that were really mixed up in his mind got straightened out. He began to really live for the Lord. They separated. They weren't living together anymore. They were planning their wedding carefully. They were trying to map out how they should live for the Lord. They began to study with us. They were faithful in church and faithful in giving, and they learned most of the basic doctrines of Scripture. And today they're still going on for the Lord, but they live in New Mexico now. And I still get a call from Maria. Often, just about the time I get depressed about something, Maria calls me. And I get a call on the phone. She says, Brother Mike, I just wanted you to know, I love you and you're my pastor. And I got a question for you. And then she comes off with some question about the Bible, and we're there for 2 hours on the phone, and we have a great time fellowshipping, and every time they get a chance, they come and visit us in Colorado Springs. And so our story there in Colorado Springs has been one of changing lives that have changed and grown out and spread the seed elsewhere. So it looks like there's four people meeting in Colorado Springs, but there's actually quite a few more lives that are out living for Jesus because of the ministry that we've had there. Let me introduce you to my subject tonight. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7 says, truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Have you ever learned that? Has that been your experience? You feel like, wow, the light is sweet. Are you one of those people who just loves to walk in the light? It's nice. I think it's the most glorious thing when I know exactly what God has for me. I know where His will is pointing me. I know what He wants me to do. I know where I'm going. My goals are laid out before me. I know what my ministry is supposed to accomplish. I know how I'm going to get from here to there. And the whole day is light and bright, and my life is going great. Verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. And then he says, all is vanity. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would encourage every heart that's here today. Father, encourage us with zeal. Encourage us with strength. Encourage us with that special strength that comes from you that we can pass on to each other. God, I pray that you would work a blessing suited to every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He makes a strange statement. It's not the statement we would make. You can tell Solomon is not a psychiatrist because he doesn't talk like a psychiatrist. He doesn't tell you, think on the positive things. He is not Norman Vincent Peale. He has no intention of teaching you the value of positive living or the power of positive faith. In fact, his instruction to you seems to go opposite that. He says, you know, it's a good thing when you've got light. As a matter of fact, it's a great thing. And Jesus gives a command in one place. He says, you ought to work now because it's daylight and night is coming when nobody can do any work. So you got some daylight, man. Get out and do some work for God. If you look at your life and you say, I know what God wants from me, then go do it now, today. Because it's light now. You can see it clearly. And there's going to come a day, mark it down. Put it on a little card, stick it in your pocket, and every morning when you get up, read this little card. The days of darkness are coming. I can see clearly today. I know where I'm going and what the Lord wants me to do, but the day is coming when I will not see like I do today. It will be dark. He says, they shall be many. It seems almost discouraging, but it's not. He says, he should remember the days of darkness. And the question that comes to our mind is, why would you tell somebody to do that? Isn't Paul saying if anything is honest and true and of a good report, think on these things? Yes, think on those things. But while you're thinking on them, remember the days of darkness. Why are there days of darkness? There's a few answers in Scripture. Look with me in Psalm 18. Psalms, the 18th chapter. Psalm 18, look in verse 6 to set the context. Psalm 18 and verse 6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his holy temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. So here's a man in distress, and he cries out to God. Now watch what happened. Verse 10. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. God is answering. He says, I know God heard my prayer because he came rushing down to aid me. Now watch. Verse 11. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. He said, I cried unto God, and God heard me, and then it all got dark. God drew really close to me, and when he was going to get that close, because his glory was so bright, his magnificence was so glorious, that he covered himself in darkness to draw very, very close to me. Why should you remember the days of darkness? Because you, through faith, realize that those are sometimes the days when God is very close to you. You think it's dark and you can't see. Things are confusing. They're not clear in your mind. You're wondering, should I do this? Should I do that? And what you need to grasp by faith is, this is the time when God is working for me. I think it's a disaster. But in God's eyes, it's as bright as day. The scripture says he sees at night just like it were daylight. The clouds aren't for his sake. It's not dark so that he doesn't see. It's dark so that you don't see him. But he draws really close, and he's so close you have no concept of how he's answered your prayer, and he's heard your cry, and he's come down to your aid, and he's drawn really close with those strong, the Bible says, bands of love, cords that he ties around your life, and he's so near you at that moment, but it's very, very dark. So the psalmist says, yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because I've come to realize that in the deep darkness, that darkness that's like deep clouds of the sky that settle down over my life, like a pavilion of darkness. I go one way, I can't find my way out. I go the other way, I can't find my way out. I go over here and there's no way for me to go. I look behind me and there's nothing back there, and I'm stuck here in the dark, wondering why? Because God is close. That's why. Why do you remember the days of darkness? Because that's when God draws near. But that's not the only thing. Look in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse 9. He's talking about verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. This is the passage where he talks about the birth of the earth, the day of creation. Or who shut up, verse 8, the seas of the doors and when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. Now hold that in your mind for just a minute. He says, on the day of creation, when the earth was born, I wrapped darkness around it like swaddling clothes. Now keep in your mind that, and think about Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, where he says, the dimness on the earth was never like it was in the day when the Messiah would be born. And in the day of her vexation, when he would come, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. Now think with me a little further down the line to the day when Jesus is born. What hour is it? Is it high noon? No, it's dark of night. We remember the days of darkness. The advice is you need to keep in your mind that there are days of darkness, and there are going to be many, because some of those days are when God draws near, and others of those days are, for some reason, God does work. He brings things into being in the darkness that he doesn't in the light. He tells his disciples in one place, the things I've revealed to you in darkness, you speak in the light. God shows you things. He teaches you things. He molds you. He births things into your personality and your heart and your life and your ministry in the darkness that He does not do in the light. Sometimes when He's getting ready to do a great thing like reform the earth, He just clothes it in darkness and then does His work, pulls back the darkness, and voila, there's the creation. And he pulls this thing back, and all the sons of the angels in heaven stand back and they say, wow! And they sing praises to God at what was just revealed. And people watch your life, and they see you pass out of the light and into the dark. And it's not a little darkness. It's not just a little bit of dimness. It's God wrapping it up like in swaddling clothes, like you would use a big little, receiving blankets. And you take that little baby. I remember when CJ was born, or just before she was born, we're going through all of the little showers, the baby showers. As we went through all those little baby showers, Linda kept bringing home all these packages of receiving blankets. I thought, what are these for? I mean, they're only about this big. And we had about 150 of those stinking things floating around at one time. And they all had little baby designs all over. Why do you need these things? And then the baby came. And now I knew why. What a brilliant idea. If it's a little bit warm, you wrap it in two blankets. If it's a little bit cool, you wrap it in four blankets. And you just keep wrapping these things around. And somebody says, let me see the baby. And you got to dig this thing out. You're folding these blankets back here. Ah, there's the face. See the little face? Oh, can I see the hands? And you've got to undo some more. Please don't ask to see the feet. This becomes a job. And he says, that's how he wraps your life in darkness sometimes. I mean, he just wraps that thing up there, and you are so limited in your vision. You step out and you say, I'm going to do something for God. And you take a step and boom, it's dark. Somebody hit the switch. And you wonder, wait a minute. Jesus said, if you walk with me, you'll not walk in darkness. What am I doing here? I just took a step for God, and now it's not just a little bit. I'm wrapped around. I can't even move anywhere. And the darkness has me compassed about. Why? Because God's about to bring something forth in you that wasn't there before. And that could not be made in the light where men would see. But one of these days, God is going to say, now it's time. Take a look at the baby's face. And He's going to pull back the darkness. And everybody who said, ha-ha, He's in darkness, is going to say, oh my. Like the sons of God on that day, they're going to fall down and say, what hath God done? Look at the marvelous handiwork of God. When did that happen? When did you get that, brother? I have no idea. I don't remember. I was walking along for the Lord one day, and next thing I know, I'm all boxed up, all tight. Things are uncomfortable, and it's dark, and I can't see anything. And I don't know which way I'm going. I feel things hitting me. Bump over here and bump over there. Oh, I hate it when things go bump in the night. I really hate it when it's dark at night and things are bumping against me. I despise those rides, you know, at the amusement park, and you're going along in the sunlight, and all of a sudden, whoa! And you're in the deep darkness, and things are brushing past your face. I hate that. I'm like, get me out of this, please. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you walked along one day, and you heard a message. You met a missionary and were inspired by their work, and you made a decision in your life, and you said, I'm going to step out and do something. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to decide to read my Bible. I'm going to learn the doctrine. I'm going to learn to preach the gospel. I'm going to learn to reach people. And as soon as you did that, God shut the switch off. You're going along in the daylight. It sure is nice to go in the day. It's a great thing for the eyes to behold the sun. And next thing, whew, and God is working here, and He's working there. God brings things to birth. But there's another reason. Look in Psalm 88. Before I read you this verse, let me say this. It's my general experience that I am ignorant. And I have no qualms about making that statement. My general experience is I'm pretty dumb about everything concerning God. And when I actually think, wow, I've really got a hold on it, I find out how stupid I really am. How unlearned and uneducated and ignorant I really am about the things of God. And God recently began to deal with me concerning the body of Christ and the ministry within that body. This verse was one of the things He dealt with. Look in Psalms chapter 88 and verse 18. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. My acquaintance into darkness. Listen, we remember the dark days because, and we're instructed to, and we ought to, because those are the days when sometimes God is just very close to us doing a work. And we remember those days because sometimes that's how God births things into our lives that couldn't be there in any other way. But that's not always the case. Sometimes He plunges me into darkness and it has nothing to do with me. He does it for you. I'm walking along fine. Things are going great. I haven't made any great decisions lately. I haven't made any major mistakes lately. And I'm going along fine, and God takes me and plunges me into darkness for somebody else's sake. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I'm praying for you so that you don't faint at my tribulation, which is for your glory. How? I don't know. I wish I understood these things, but I claim my ignorance. All I know is that somehow or another, God, through the body, works these things so that He can take one member over here who He wants to get some glory in their life, some special gift, and in order to do it, He takes some other member over here and He plunges them into tribulation. They pass into dark days for His sake, and they've done nothing. All they did was they happened to be a friend, an acquaintance of this one over here. And for some reason, God affects the body by affecting one part over here. He gets a work done in another part over there. I have a feeling our surgeons are kind of ignorant about our body. Because if I got a problem here, they always go in over here. Somehow or another, I think we're missing something. Because when God wants to do an operation on this part of the body, He doesn't always go in right there. He'll go in over here. And next thing you know, it affects something over here. It is possible for you to walk through dark days for someone else's glory. For someone else's benefit. That kind of can be hard to swallow. But I want you to think about something. Consider the value of darkness in God's operation in the body. He says, I want you to remember dark days because that seems to be the way God does it. That's the tool He uses. Whether it's the only way He can do it or not, I don't know, but that's how He's chosen to work things in the body, and it can be glorious if you will let God plunge you into darkness. It can be glorious if you will let God send you into tribulation. It can be good for you, and it can be good for other people. Sometimes you'll never know. Sometimes there's another part of the body over here, and you weren't a lover or a friend. You were just an acquaintance. And God plunged you into darkness, and a work got done over here, and you came out of darkness. You said, well, I wonder if anything's been born. No, nothing's been born. I wonder if the Lord was really close. Well, maybe, but I don't know. And what you don't know is that there's some other part of the body over here that's getting great benefit from what you just passed through. He says, remember the days of darkness. God can be near. God can be working things He couldn't work any other way. And then for one other thing, look in John chapter 1. Let me tell you a little story. I got a call one day from Maria, who I was telling you about earlier. She said, Brother Mike, she said, I need you to come down and talk to somebody. They're in a bad situation and they need to talk to a preacher. And so I went down to talk to them. And they were in a very bad situation. They were less than penniless. They were living on the street. They weren't married. She was pregnant with his child. He was pretty certain he wasn't saved. She was certain she was. And I mean, their life was just a total mess. They had nothing. They worked at a shelter, a kind of a thrift store kind of a thing, to get shoes to wear. Because they had no shoes and it was getting on toward winter. And she wanted me to come and talk to them. And she had already made a decision. Her and her husband were working. This was after they had been married and they were moving on in the Lord, and they were working as the resident managers of an apartment complex. And so she had decided that whenever they had an empty apartment, they would move this couple in there until they could start to get things going again. So I went down and I talked with him. He was in terrible condition. He had been in Vietnam. He had done drugs. I thought, this man is mentally gone. There's just nothing, there's not much here of value to work with anymore. He would have these attacks. He had them fairly frequently, and he would become enraged and violent. one time he actually hijacked a bus and turned it over in the road. Nobody got hurt. I can't believe it. But he hijacked this bus and ended up turning it over in the street. He was in bad condition. And I went and I sat down and I talked with them. We spent a long time. And we talked, and I talked with them about the Lord. I talked with them about the shape that their life was in, the steps they needed to make a change in their life, how the first thing that they needed to do was commit themselves to the Lord. And so they did. We knelt in prayer. They gave themselves over to the Lord. He still wasn't sure he was saved. He still was pretty sure he wasn't. He was sure that nobody could have done the things he did and have been saved. And so they began to come out to church, but they were poor. They rode with Doug and Maria, and they came to church. But they had nothing. They were moving about it and thought, I need to get a job. So he got a job selling flowers on the street corner. And they stayed faithful at church. And things were beginning to change. His attacks were less frequent. And he was beginning to be calm. And he came to a point where he was assured that he was saved. And his testimony was clear. And they began to learn some of the doctrines, and they began to study with us, and they hung around for a few months, and they came in one day, and they had this little glass jar with some money in it, little canning jar, and it was chock full of money. And they said, well, this was the money we were saving to buy baby clothes with when the baby was born. This is the money that we picked up on the streets that we just find sitting on the street, and we picked it up over the last 6 months. But we decided that all the money we find on the street we're going to give to the Lord, so we're going to give this. And what we want you to do with this is we want you to buy Bibles that you can give to people. Their testimony was that as they traveled from Florida all the way up to Colorado Springs, it took them about a year to make that journey. In all that time, they would stop and they would visit churches, and no church had a Bible they could give them. And they said, we want to be able to tell people there's at least one church that'll give them a Bible. So we went out and we bought a case of Bibles, and there's this case of Bibles sitting in church just to give to people. And they gave faithfully. It was never a lot, just whatever they happened to find on the street. The upshot of it was, after a little while, his seizures almost completely stopped. And she had gone back and renewed her nurse's license, and they got a job at a little hospital out in a little mountain town. And I saw him one day a while ago. They're now in Kansas, and they're still living for the Lord. They're still going on for God. They're still fellowshipping and faithful in a church. They're now married. Their baby is born. He hasn't had an attack in over 2 years now. The last time I saw him, he was clean cut. That roughness and the deep lines that came from living on the street are all gone. He looked young again. He was dressed. It was like looking at a completely different man. I keep thinking about the madman of the Gadarene. Now I saw him sane and dressed in clothes. He smelled good. He looked good. He was joyous. There was a happiness in his heart that had never been there before. And he said, I'm still living for God, and I just thank God that you guys were here when we were at the bottom. John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness. Remember the days of darkness. Remember the days of darkness, because that's where God is going to put you when He needs a light. Because the purpose of the light is not to sit in the sun. The purpose of the light is to invade the darkness. And He takes you because you are now light in Jesus Christ, and He sticks you into the darkest hole. Places where people fear to go to. With people fear to touch. Doing things you couldn't imagine needed to be done before. And He takes your light and He shoves it in there because it's going to scatter the darkness. And you, in your self-pity and your self-consciousness and your self-awareness, are going to say, it's dark! Yes. Yeah, it's dark. Because that's what you're supposed to be doing. We sing the song, stepping in the light, stepping. Hey, it's great when it happens. But you better remember the days of darkness. Because you're not going to do the work for God when you're stepping in the light. You're just going to have a good time when you're stepping in the light. And then He's going to take you and He's going to break you. And He's going to ruin things in your life to put you in tribulation and darkness. Because there are people there that no one else will talk to if you're not there. You're going to have troubles you wouldn't imagine. Fights with families and friends. You're gonna have financial disasters that are gonna hit from nowhere. You're gonna think, I got it all laid out, I got it planned, I know where my money's coming from, I know where it's going to, I know, and whoom! God slices out from under there, and next thing you know, your slab costs you $6,000 more than you thought it did. And you get hit with financial blows, and they're just gonna happen, and you're gonna be walking along exercising, eating all the right foods, and God is gonna go wham! Because He needs a light in the darkness, not in the sun. One of these days we're gonna gather like the stars are on the throne of heaven. And it says in that day there's not gonna be any more sun, and there's not gonna be any more moon. And there aren't going to be any more stars because Jesus is the light of that city.
Amen.
But we're not there yet. Between now and then, there are some very deep valleys. And in the bottom of some of those valleys are deep, slimy, ugly, dark holes where God needs you. He's got to have a light. Brethren, consider with me for a moment your life. Ask yourself this question. The days of darkness, have they been many? If you look at your life and you say, yeah, I remember a lot of dark days. Thank God for it. Do you know God was working then? Do you know He was doing work then He couldn't do any other time? Do you know He was close to you? He had His arms around you. He was cradling you and loving you in a pavilion of darkness so deep you thought you'd never get out. Can you look back and find things in your life that are good? Do you want to trace them? I'll bet they go back to a day of darkness. What about tomorrow? What about all the things that you've done in the past and you thought, man, I really made a mess out of it. I hurt it and I messed it up and I failed so bad and I went through this tribulation because of it. Will you tomorrow remember that God walked with you through that time and quite possibly deliberately made you do it so you'd go through that time? That's hard to buy. But God puts you in the darkness. Deliberately puts you there. And then tomorrow when the lights go off, will you remember? God's very close to me. And He's working in me and He's revealing things to me and He's helping me, and weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning.